Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter 6, 34. Bible says that, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Here ends the reading of his holy word. Father, I pray that you breathe your fresh breath of God over this word in Jesus' name. Amen. We are still talking about purpose, and I want us to talk about the purpose of life. Purpose of your life. The purpose of your life. The purpose of your life. We said that when purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Hallelujah. And when you know and you have purpose, you can behave wiser. And you can do more things with your life. You are motivated when you have purpose. Is that a good thing? When you have purpose, you do well, you do better. There's a guy called Ralph Lewis who is an atheist. He said that there's no purpose to life. Everything's a sham. Life is just you appear, you live it as you see it. Tomorrow when you die, you're gone. So life is meaningless and life is purposeless. Hallelujah. And I read somewhere in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God says that let us make man in our own image and let him have dominion over the fish, over the birds of the air, over everything that moves on the earth. Let us make man in our own image. And the purpose for making man is that he will have dominion. He will rule on the earth just as we rule in heaven. That's what God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And then John chapter 10, verse 10 says that the thief comes not but for what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. You know, that particular scripture, a lot of us think that it's physical. But it's not physical. The thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What is he stealing? What is he killing? What is he destroying? Purpose. Someone say purpose. Or say it like you mean it, purpose. The thief's primary goal is to steal your purpose. And replace your purpose with something else. And he kills your purpose so that, you see, once you kill somebody's purpose, you have derailed the person. And whatever they stand for is now gone. So they are just there. Remember when God said to Adam, in the day you eat of this fruit, you shall lose your purpose. You shall die. We know for a fact that Adam did not die when he ate the fruit. Who was that? I was going to insult the grandfather of that child. All right. And I realized it was me, so I stopped. Amen. He says, what was I talking about? Adam did not die when he ate the fruit. But from that day, he lost his dominion. He lost his power. He lost his way. I don't know whether you are getting it. He lost and he became aimless. And since then, life has become aimless for most of us. We are just living. And you see, when he steals, he replaces what he's stolen with something else. He replaces what he has stolen with life, with caring about the body, caring about what you eat, what you wear, where you sleep, you know. And so we are chasing our tails, looking for things that don't really matter. And Jesus was saying in Matthew 6 that, why do you worry about what you eat and what you wear? Don't you have more purpose? Don't you have a better purpose than the lilies? The lilies just have a purpose of beautifying the field for just a little season, and after which they are thrown in the oven. You are more valuable because you have a better purpose than that. But because we have not discovered our purpose, we are aimless. Those who don't have money, we feel that the day we get money, life will be meaningful. So we are chasing money. And those who have money are depressed. Because they realize that, is this all there is to it? You chase money, chase. You have more, you have billions of pounds. Then what? So they start to fill that void with everything, drugs, with this, with that. And it still does not satisfy, because life without purpose is a vacuum. It's meaningless. I don't know whether you understand where I'm coming from. Are you with me? Yeah. Oh, so, I believe that the best thing we need to do in life is to discover purpose. Hallelujah. There's 5 questions that I want us to consider this afternoon. 5 questions. Who am I? Who am I? And that question is your identity. Let us make man in our own image, and let him have dominion over the fish, over the birds, over the things that creeps on the earth. Our identity is God's representation on the earth. Not your identity is not the color of your skin. Your identity is not where you come from. Your identity is not the color of your passport. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. Until we discover who we are, we will not know our purpose. Now, I don't know whether you are following. You are very quiet this afternoon. Are you with me? Until we discover our purpose, life becomes meaningless. The second question, where am I from? And where you are from has nothing to do with the color of your passport or your ethnicity or origin. Where am I from? Man is a spirit. He lives in the body and he has a soul. So where am I from? We are from the spirit. I don't know whether you are getting it. We are from the spirit. God, we are spirit, God type, God like kind on the earth, living and housed in the body. So if we are spirit and we are God like or God kind, then the mandate of God still holds. I don't know whether you are with me. So my heritage is not the color of my skin. It's not the type of hair I have. It's not where I come from. It is more, there's more to it than that. Why am I here? Next one, why am I here? So the first one is, well, who am I? Where am I from? Why am I here? Why am I here has to do with purpose. We are making man in our own image, that is where you are from, and we are giving him a purpose. Let him have dominion. So the purpose of God on the earth for man is that he will rule on the earth just as God is ruling in the heavenly realms. Hallelujah. Number four, what can I do? That's potential. But if I know my purpose, then I need to work out from my where I, what I can do to achieve my purpose. So my potential, there is enough in us to achieve the purpose of God for our lives. I don't know. It's a tweetable thing. You can tweet it. There's enough in you to achieve the purpose of God for your life. Amen. Where am I going? That's your destiny. Where am I going? Am I going to the cemetery? Am I going to the grave? Because if everything ends in the cemetery, then there's not much, then life is meaningless. Because chasing of clothes, chasing of shoes and bags and what do you call it, houses and cars, the day you die, you don't go with any of them. In fact, the day you die, they will not put your favorite clothes that you have in your wardrobe on you. They will buy something totally different, whether you like it or not. My friend lost his wife. And when I was going, he called me and said, when you are coming, buy me a white lace. I was thinking about it. He said, buy me a lace. So when I got there, we're having troubles trying to send the thing to where he was. Then he said to me that if you don't get it to me by Tuesday, then there's no point, because she's being buried on Friday, so they need to sew and put on her. And I was just thinking, this woman must have a lot of clothes hanging in a wardrobe. What has the fabric of a stranger, I'm a stranger to her, has become so important? Because the final clothes that you wear has to come from a stranger. So if life ends in the grave, then there's something very, very sad about us. I don't know whether you're getting it. So where am I going? It's also very important. If you know where you are going, you'll be careful how you live your life. I want us to contrast this sad story I've just told you to Genesis. Let's look at what not Genesis, sorry. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. For David, after he had served his purpose, give me the ESV. He said, David, after he had served his purpose, the purpose of God for his life, fell asleep and laid with his fathers and saw corruption. David, after he had served his purpose, he fell asleep. David did not die. If you go and look at the account, the Bible says after he had blessed his household, he gathered his feet to the bed and gave up the ghost. Which means that he freely presented his body to death after he had fulfilled his purpose. Paul said something in Acts in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. He says that I am already poured out as a drink offering, and my time of departure has come. What you're saying is that I have emptied out my content. So now I am, the purpose of this drink is not the shape of the bottle, but the content that is inside of it. When the content is finished, the bottle is finished. So now we are ready to discard the bottle, because the bottle is not the water. The bottle is only housing the water. But the actual thing that is so important with this is the content, not the bottle. But we treat the bottle more important than the content. That's why you see us empty and we are still decorating the bottle. Nothing is inside. You have poured everything, wasted everything away, and you are still doing makeup. You go and sit at the hairdresser salon for 8 hours to do your braid, and there's nothing inside. The room is going quiet. He says, let's read on. Verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give award to me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Those who have achieved purpose. The most beautiful way to die is after you have achieved purpose. They say the grave or the cemetery is the richest place on the earth, because it's a place of unfulfilled dreams, songs that were never written, skyscrapers that were never built, books that were never written. Things that were supposed to have been done, that was never done. Brothers and sisters, let us not die full. Let us die empty. One of the saddest things that happened in the Bible was a man called Elisha. He got the double portion of his predecessor's grace and anointing. And he took the content of that to the grave. He was not successful to pass that grace to the next generation. So guess what? It died with him. Let the gift of God, the grace of God, the anointing of God never die with you. When Jesus was leaving, he said that what the content that is in me, I have poured inside of you. A greater work shall you do. Why? Because I'm going. I've done mine. I've fulfilled my purpose. Now you go do yours. And they went and fulfilled their purpose. And they carried on, gave it to others who have fulfilled their purpose. Who have fulfilled their purpose. People have fulfilled their purpose. And it's our turn. Are we going to die like Elisha? Or are we going to empty out? Ask your neighbor, what's the purpose of your life? What they say? Ask them again. Maybe they didn't hear you. Ask them, what's the purpose of your life? Tell them, you are tall. Why are you here? Are you here to get promoted and get another job? Get a better job and get a better job and get a better job. Get money and more money and more money. After the money, then what? After the house, then what? Hello? Somebody was telling me a story. We went to visit a certain house. I won't call it the house. It's ruins. It's a dilapidated that nobody lives in, abandoned building. And the person was saying that this building was the best building in this whole town. It was the one that everybody wanted to even go into. This was my father's house. An abandoned building that nobody goes in. It's full of weeds. It's full of weeds. The gate is, nobody goes in. So it's like you can't open the gate to go in. That is how the things we are struggling for. That's the end of it. It may be the best. Have you not seen the old cars, Mercedes Benz? You see them, like, what is this piece of junk? But in their day, that was, if you had that, it was like the most prestigious. But today, if you give it to anybody, they will not like it. Are you understanding? We are chasing out my dream car, my dream house, my dream job, my dream. After time, it becomes a house for creepy crawlies, snakes, house for. So if all we are chasing for is clothes, shoes, bags, even the bag and the shoes, after two seasons, it's gone. Hallelujah. I have the latest iPhone. It's Pro Max, something, something, something. Then after 3 years, after 6 months, it's no longer the latest. Something else has replaced it. After 18 months, it starts to cough. Pastor Sam's phone is always coughing. It starts to cough and blink. You know that there are some, I won't mention names, but there are some companies that they only guarantee the phone to work for 18 months, after which it starts to play up. The screen starts to go funny. By then, they've released two or three versions. Oh, Apple. I won't mention names. Life is not that. It's like Satan has stolen the essence of life and replaced it with things that don't matter. So that we are now majoring on minor things and minoring on major things. The major things we don't pay attention to. We are all more worried and stressed about things that don't matter. Hallelujah. Let's look at some of the divine purposes for man. Number one, divine purposes for man. He says that let us make man in our own image. So they will have dominion this side as we have dominion on that side, so that we can fellowship with him. The day that Adam sinned, he lost his spirit, the essence of his spirit, and he found himself naked. So he hid himself. So the Bible said, and the Lord came, the voice of the Lord came into the garden. And the Lord said, Adam, Adam, where are you? Why did God come into the garden? Because God made Adam so that he could hang out with him, to fellowship with him. Can you imagine you have married this beautiful, sumptuous, delicious lady? And she never has time to spend with you. She's always busy. She's everywhere but by your side. How would that make you feel? What was the purpose of the marriage? The purpose of the marriage was to have you by my side. The Bible says that we are the bride of Christ. I don't know whether you're getting it. I've married you so that you stay by me, so we can fellowship together. We can spend our lives together. And if you are nowhere near me, then what's the point? What's the purpose of our marriage? The day we married, that was the day you took off. It's been 5 years. It's been 10 years. I've never had the benefit of you lying next to me. Do you know by law, if you go to the law, there's a ground for divorce? Abandonment. Yeah, because you've abandoned the person. You have not fulfilled purpose of the marriage vows. I don't know whether you're getting it. Our purpose is to be with God, is to spend our time. You know, when Satan steals that thing from you, that is when you replace it with everything. You become busy doing everything but spending time with God. That's when work is so important that you can't come to the house of God. Work is so important you can't pray. Your phone is so important that there's no time to read the Bible. Listen, fellowship is everything. You see in the Bible, anytime any man that spent more time fellowshipping with God was somebody God favored. Anybody who ran away from God, God didn't favor. Ask yourself, am I running towards God or am I running away from God? That is why, you see, sin is the thief's success over you, because he robs you of your confidence to go to God. Have you not realized that when you have done something, you find it difficult to go close to God, you find it difficult to pray, you find it difficult to be in the house of God, all those things. Every message is something that's like, what the pastor is talking to me. And you find reason to be offended and leave. But our purpose is so we can fellowship with him. He married us for a reason. He married us so that we can spend time with him. So when you spend time with God, you are fulfilling purpose. You know, somebody said, why are they going to be in church all week? If they are going to be in church, they say camp. Then after camp, they say prayer, all day prayer. What is this? The whole week. Because that is purpose. I say that is purpose. That is, it's not, you know, extra shift. Extra shift is good. But extra shift must not replace our true purpose. Have you not realized that the Gentiles seek the same things that you are seeking? Look at the lilies. They neither toil nor spin. But God clothes them. The birds never sow.
nor Spain. But God gives them food to eat. But you, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all other things that you are looking for will be added to you. God has a way of adding to you when you chase after him. We're talking about this morning, myself and Pastor Sam, that if you explain it to somebody, they will never understand and they will never agree with you until they live it. That when you sacrifice others for him, he gives you those things that you sacrifice and more. Hallelujah. God has a way of giving you more than you thought possible. So that scripture in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, is so true. But if you haven't lived it, it's very difficult to appreciate it. It's very difficult for you to be trusting in it. Hallelujah. The second purpose of man is for us to be spiritual stones that is used to build the temple of God. God has so made us that we become spiritual stones in the fabrication of the temple of God. 1 Peter 2, 4 to 8. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He who believes in him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stones which are the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, they stumble being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. Hallelujah. We are supposed to be living stones. So when we come together, this stone to this stone, this stone to this stone, this stone to this stone, this stone to this, we form the temple of God. So that is our purpose. So if that is our purpose and we are always away from the house of God, there's something wrong. How many understand what I'm saying? There's something wrong. And see, that is what the devil has achieved. He's done very well. The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You see, he steals and he replaces it with a vacuum. That makes you want to replace it. Are you with me? What he stole was not the item. What he stole was your purpose. So now you are chasing vanity. You are chasing vanity. You are chasing money. I said to somebody that assume you work for 5 years and you have to leave the company, maybe leave town, and you are going. And you just get up and go. Sometimes, by the 5th year when you are leaving, you are broke. You are as broke as the 1st year when you enter the company. How many know what I'm talking about? Because it's that you've worked 5 years, but you can't account for the money that passed through your hands. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because you have worked 5 years, but 5 years, the money has gone through you. So you are still as broke as the first day you entered that place.
And that is what Satan has stolen from us. So that he has made us major in things that really don't matter. And you chase and chase. It's like chasing your tail. The dog will chase its tail and chase it and never ever catch it. But never stops to wonder why I'm not catching this tail and I'm still running after it. I pray that after this message, you go and sit at home and ask yourself, why am I here? Is my life, am I just made to work and then get a few things and then check out? Or is there something more to it? You see, if you leave a name, that name will never ever be erased. Today we are still talking about Paul. I don't know how many buildings Paul built. I don't know how much money Paul left in his bank account. It's been 2,000 years since he died. We are talking about him today. Others have come and worked three times as hard, gathering money. We don't know them. I don't think working for money is a good aim. Money is important, but I don't think that working for money is a good aim. Money is a necessity for life. But when you work, I was saying, I don't remember who I was talking to. The person asked me a question. Yeah, this was in a hall last week. Person, I was saying that money is not a good motivator for wealth. You shouldn't work for money. And this guy came to see me after church and said that, Pastor, the reason why I'm in school, the reason why I'm here is because of money. And now you're saying that I shouldn't work for money. Then what? I said, no, you don't understand. When you work for purpose, money will find you. You understand what I'm saying? Then I said, I used this example of Ronaldo. He's paid well, right? But he trains more than all the teammates, because it's not about money now for him. It's never ever been about money. For him, it was for entertainment and to make sure that he was the best. And because he is the best, money finds him. If you work for money, you will never work well. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. If you work for money, you will never find it. It's like chasing your tail. Are you with me? If you work for purpose, money will find you. Number three. For you to offer spiritual sacrifices. Remember I said that we are supposed to be a spiritual temple and build a spiritual altar where we offer sacrifices. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of the living God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Our life is supposed to be a sacrifice to God. That's the purpose of our lives. So if daily we offer sacrifices to him, we are fulfilling purpose. You know, the purpose of the high priest is to offer sacrifices. Yeah? You are a holy nation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. You know that scripture? And what is that for? so that you show forth his praise. Amen. Am I talking to somebody? That is why spiritual sacrifice is very, very difficult for us to offer. How many will agree with me that it's not easy to pray? It's not easy to fast. It's not easy to be in church every Sunday. It's not easy to be in church every Wednesday. But it's easy to sit behind the TV all day. It's easy. You can sit by the TV for 12 hours and never get bored. But you stay in church for more than 45 minutes, you feel itchy. You feel like you need to leave. How many, not you, but you know somebody who feels that like that sometimes. Give me a wave. You feel tired and sleepy. Because the thief wants to prevent us from offering spiritual sacrifice. Because that is our purpose. You see, he has lost his purpose. Remember, Lucifer had a purpose. And he lost his purpose. So what he is trying to do is to rob you and I of our purpose. So that we be like him. So that we can end up where he is. But from today, let us not give him that place. Let us not allow him to steal our purpose. We are the temple of God. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 13:15 with me. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hallelujah. Have you not realized that worship sometimes is tedious? Worship, sometimes your flesh gets in the way. You don't feel it. Because that was his purpose and he lost it. So when you become a worshiper, you are taking his place and he doesn't like it. Hallelujah. Let me give you the last one for today. We'll continue another time. We have also been called to do his work here on earth. Hallelujah. We've been called, have dominion, take over authority of the earth. 1 Peter 2:9. I was just talking about that. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You're supposed to be his ambassador. You're supposed to be his representation. So in that place, in that group of friends, you are supposed to represent God. That's your purpose. In that room, that classroom, in that dorm, you are supposed to represent God. In that workplace, you are supposed to represent God. In your neighborhood, you are God that they see. That's your purpose. Hallelujah. Let me give you this one, this last one. This is a bonus one. We are also a channel of his blessing. We are supposed to be a channel of God's blessing. Hallelujah. You see, it is only a channel is like a pathway that water flows. Have you seen, let's say, want to create a man-made lake here? What we do is we dig a trench, we dig a channel, and that channel is where the rainwater is going to flow into to form the lake. Can you understand what that? Like, if you've been to a lake district, you understand what I'm saying. It's like it's a man-made lake. They built it. They just dug out a big hole, and with time, water has flown into it, and it's become like a river. We are supposed to be like that. We are supposed to channel people back to God. So our friendship, our relationship, the people we meet, the things we do, is all supposed to channel people back to God and channel the blessings of God to people. We say in our, I don't know whether you remember where we're giving our, reading our vow. This is a vow pledge. The confession. I am a solution for somebody's prayer. What you are saying, that I'm somebody's, the answer to somebody's prayer. I must be the channel of God's blessing. God has to bless somebody, but I'm the person that God will use to bless. What does that mean? It means that God has to bless me first, and for me to use that blessing to bless somebody. I always say that I'd rather visit you in hospital than want you to visit me. For me to visit you means that I am well to come to you. Are you getting it? That's a channel of hope. I don't know whether you understand one thing. A channel of hope, a solution to somebody. So I am praying that from today, be a solution to somebody's prayer. Somebody is broke. You know the person is broke. Just take money and give to that person. Be the channel of blessing to somebody. Sometimes we know that this person has a need, but our water doesn't flow by the person's way. We block the water from flowing from us to anybody else. Have you seen that before? Has it all happened to you before? You knew you had enough to give to the person, but you didn't feel like giving it to the person. But really, if you had given it, that would be somebody's answer to their prayer met. I pray that from today we will become a solution center to. Listen, when God speaks to you that bless somebody, never ever hesitate to do it. God is saying that find somebody, give to somebody, bless somebody with something. Just do it, because that is the purpose of your life, to be a channel of blessing to somebody. Because God cannot come from heaven to bless anybody on earth. He will have to use a man. He will have to use you. He will have to use me. He will have to use our pockets. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The measure with which you give to all is the same measure that will be used to give to you. Hallelujah. Yeah. If you become a channel, you see, the channel, once the channel is dug, water will never, that channel will never be empty of water. Because the water is always running, and the water that runs around the channel is always fresh. Are you with me? When you allow yourself to flow, when you allow your river to flow, you never become a stagnant water. Stagnant water with time smells and becomes full of bugs and creepy crawlies. The color changes to green. But when the channel is unblocked and is always given, the water there is clear and is fresh. I pray that our lives will be clear and fresh. Stand to your feet.